کہ بسم اللہ الحمدللہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی رسول اللہ وعلی آلہ وصحابہ اجمعین اما بعد ونعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی ایوری ون السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ اباؤٹ لیٹ لاسٹ ایئر I was about to enter to give Jummah Khutbah at the Tawheed Center, Islamic Center of Oak Brook Terrace. It was 12:55. The khutbah starts at 1:05. So I was getting ready just to go inside and settle down. As I was going inside the front door, lo and behold, I saw Mike. And Mike is a brother who lives across the masjid, across the building. And I had many interactions with him. He used to come in the evening, maybe sometimes morning time, and I used to sit down, others used to sit down with him. And we used to converse with him about Islam. He had many, many questions. So for many months, actually if 2 or 3 years, we used to sit down with him. So I was really surprised to see Mike at the Jummah time entering the masjid about the same time. So I was praying to Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this day that this person, Mike, a non-Muslim, a neighbor, gets guided to Islam. So out of my curiosity, even though my mind was about the preparation I was doing for the Jummah Khutbah, what I should say, what I should share, I asked Mike the question, so Mike, awesome to see you here. What brought you here today? And Mike, he said, I came today to become a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, right? Allahu Akbar, I got excited. So as we went down, I had Mike come in the front and then, alhamdulillah, in front of maybe 100, 200 people there, he recited, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But then a million-dollar question that all of us we have in our mind is, what made Mike interested to look into Islam and now to embrace Islam? So I asked that question and people were listening. So the question to Mike was, Mike, you know, what teachings of Islam attracted you the most that you have been learning and interested and now today you came to embrace? And Mike, he said, that all the teachings of Islam, they are perfect, they are good, they are beneficial, but the reason I got attracted to Islam is because I have a Muslim neighbor. So you know how where the story is going now, right? So he said that Mike is, so he said, I am a handyman and my neighbor, he had some work for me. And he used to go out of his way, the neighbor, the Muslim neighbor, out of the way to help Mike. Give him enough projects, enough burden, not to overburden him, helping out in the projects, and always used to overpay for the work that Mike used to do. So the good akhlaq, the good conduct and the good habit of being a good Muslim attracted Mike to learn about Islam and now to embrace Islam with the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my topic today, alhamdulillah, would be the 7 habits of highly effective Muslims. Have any one of you read or heard about that book? Yes, many of you. Have you read that book, by the way? I would recommend everyone to read it, and now you will realize that almost every habit in that book is reflected from the Quran and from the authentic Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is that not so, by the way, those who read? So that made me realize that many a times when we look into the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so let me ask you this question, and let's just make it like really brief. What comes to your mind if I ask you the question that name me a Sunnah of the Prophet? I mean, every sunnah is the perfect one. Name me one sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdul Bari bhai, what will come to your mind?
I would say smiling is a charity.
That's okay, mashallah. Smiling comes to mind. Suppose if I ask you the question, what sunnah comes to your mind when you just ate biryani? What is there? Yeah, biryani, right? What sunnah were you applying? What comes to your mind when it comes to eating? Yes, brother.
Well, we don't have to fill ourselves too much, like 1/3 water, 1/3 food, 1/3 air.
Yes.
And then also sharing food with neighbors.
Yes. and also eating with the right hand and sitting down and eating with our fingers, forget about the forks, and saying Bismillah. So all of this comes to our mind, but many a times we have made our faith as really ritualistic. So the reason I have this this important topic is because when you look in the into the dynamic nature of the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his habits, his rituals, they were not just a few things here and there scattered. They were really holistic and dynamic. And when, once the companions of Muhammad, peace be upon him, once they applied it, alhamdulillah, they were labeled as the best of all the generations. They were the people who took Islam to, you know, all the way from Spain, all the way to Malaysia, Indonesia. They were the people who changed the map of the world because they looked in the Sunnah, not as some ritualistic, but as a dynamic Sunnah. So now you may be wondering, what may be the first habit and the rest of the six habits? So the very first habit is the most important habit. And the very first habit is Allah and the connection that we can have with Him. I mean, obviously, nothing else matters if we don't have that connection. So our responsibility, first and foremost, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then obviously to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But many a times we only stop up there. So I have given some marriage khutbas, and I have also given some advice to some youth before they got married or right after they got married. And my single advice to them would be that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to look, or He's not going to ask that, have you received your rights from your spouses, you know, from your children, from your neighbors, or from anyone else. Definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us that, have you fulfilled your responsibilities? So fulfillment of my responsibility is giving the right to somebody else. So as long as all of us fulfill their responsibility, automatically everyone will get their rights. So one habit that I want to inculcate and I want to share with all of you would be that right after the tahajjud prayer or right after the fard prayer of the fard prayer of fajr prayer, it's important for us to sit down, just stay quietly and sit down. I mean, do the dua, do the zikr, but also inculcate this habit that now today, on this day, what are the obligations that I have? And these are the range of obligations, by the way. First and foremost to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then to our parents and ourselves, then to our spouses and our families, then to our relatives, then to our neighbors, then to all of humanity, then to the environment, and then obviously to the animals. So we have a range of responsibilities, so it's important for us, maybe in 30 seconds, maybe in 2 minutes, just consciously recall the responsibilities and make an active effort to fulfill the responsibilities. So once we think of it in the clear mind, in the morning, Fajr prayer, inshallah, we'll be more positively reinforced to fulfill the responsibilities. You know, that reminds me of a study by Duke University. And this study was in 2008. And the scholars, the psychologists who did this really important study, they found out that those individuals who have a strong connection with a higher power, with the Creator, they have less physical stress. They have a lower blood pressure. They have a higher immunity. So at the end of the day, our physical stress, our high blood pressure is reflective of our psychological stress. So once we are connecting with the Creator, once we are content, we are putting ourselves in the hands of the Creator, following our responsibilities, that is one of the ways, not only physical health, psychological health, and spiritual health. So that's the very first habit, that every morning, right after the Fajr prayer, just sit down and contemplate the responsibility first and foremost to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the rest of the creations. So I'm trying to build a really important acronym, Abdul Bari Bhai. So it would be easy to remember. So it would be A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So A stands for Allah and the connection that we can have with Him, right? just to make it easy. So maybe at the end of my short talk, I'm going to have a quiz, inshallah.
I'm taking notes.
Oh, you're taking notes. That is smart, by the way, right? So everyone now takes up their smartphones. There you go. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, you're taking notes too, mashallah. So the B stands for the bedtime habit. Means early to bed and early to rise. This is one of, you know, when I read, so I read many motivational books. And I have seen one of the common denominators between highly successful people. May that be the Elon Musk or the Warren Buffett or the Tim Cooks or anyone who is out there who are movers and shakers of the society. They go to bed early and they wake up like Tim Cooks. He wakes up at 5:30 a.m. in the morning. And there are others like Warren Buffett and others, they wake up at 4:30 a.m. in the morning. So that is a common denominator. And so according to the neurologist, our brain is fully charged. We are good to go. We are fresh. That early in the morning, by the way. And that is aligning with the sunnah, the Hajjud prayer, and waiting for the Fajr prayer, and waiting for the Chasht prayer, and then go to work, right? No sleeping right after, and doing the ibadah, the reading of the Quran. So it's really important, especially for the youth who are here, and especially for all of us, by the way, in summertime. It's a habit, you know, our children, they may be awake until 11, 12, maybe 1 o'clock in morning. Then people miss the Fajr prayer. And then they wake up at, you know, 10 a.m. if they wake up, that's early wake up, right? Come on, it's a reality, summertime. So it's really important for us that sometimes we feel, you know, how come we don't have inner peace? How come our days are not productive? How come we cannot properly manage our time? All of these small, well, these are not small, by the way. Every single sunnah is the most precious, the most rewarding. They're not small. They are the most highest, the most impactful. But all of these combined together will inculcate in us and the Muslims and humanity those wonderful dynamic way that the Prophet and the companions used to have that impact on the world. The third, so you have A, B, and C, right? So C stands for the communication skills. You knew I was going to get to that, correct? Come on. I'm really big into it. And the reason is this. That many a times we push a person forward. May that be the youth. May that be a person of knowledge or any person. Once we see that person has knowledge, which is good. Knowledge is one of the three ingredients of a good speaker, a good communicator. The second and the third habit of a good communicator is that he or she should know how to properly package the knowledge. And he or she should know that how to properly now deliver the knowledge. All these things are important for us to have an impact on the listener. About 4 months ago, I was in New York to give a Jummah khutbah and then later on to have a family session and then to have a Dawah training the next day. So this was one of the Islamic centers, forgot the name by the way, in New York. After the Jummah khutbah, after the prayer was done, I was walking towards my host car and he was with me and a few other brothers were with me. As we were close to the car, still on the sidewalk of the masjid, a lady kind of at a fast pace, she came to us and she identified herself saying that I live in the neighborhood, I'm still a non-Muslim, I came and listened to the Friday sermon, I liked it, I have a few questions. So this is the sidewalk, the masjid is here, the parking lot is here. So alhamdulillah, about for half an hour right there, we started to address her questions, her concerns, and the misconceptions she had. At the end of the day, she said, I'm quite satisfied. Now I'm ready to embrace Islam. Alhamdulillah. So we were all excited. About 5-6 brothers were there. And she's about to recite the Shahada. I'm about to mention to her the requirements of embracing Islam. And then this brother, he interrupted all of us. And then he mentioned, looking at her, he said, that be careful as you're entering Islam, because if you leave Islam, this will happen to you, right? And we were thinking, brother, what are you doing? Come on, she's here to embrace Islam. Let's use hikmah. So communication skills, not only what we say, but what we should avoid, what we should not say. Because sometimes if we say something extra, which may or may not be true, it may cause more doubts and more concerns, and it may lead a person away from Islam, away from Muslim, and away from the guidance. But then you may be wondering, what happened to the sister? Did she run away? You know, drove away really fast in the car? No, what happened? Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided her, and she proclaimed, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Jazakallahu khairan. So I'm going to really recommend each single one of you that to take Toastmaster classes. How many of you are part of Toastmasters? MashaAllah, yeah, I know. Abdul Bari Bhai and the three. Come on, you're just smiling. We have to all push you. Come on, Ashraf Bhai. You know, of the many, many investment of my time that I have done in my entire life, many, many investments I have done, by the way. If I have to label the top five, Toastmasters would be ranking in the top five. It is as important. Cannot, you know, overemphasize the importance of it. Our Toastmaster Club at ICN, the Ogden Masjid ICN, we just celebrated which anniversary?
5 years.
So you know that. So you receive the emails and the WhatsApp. So make sure next time, Greg. No, I'm serious, by the way. Just go and listen. And this is one of the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And this is one of the habits of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With a smile, he used to take proper pauses. He was a good listener. Being a good listener is part of a good communication skills, by the way. And when he used to speak, he used to be to the point. And he used to have impact on what he used to say. And he used to give proper analogies, proper examples. So the whole package he had, and the whole package we can extract from there, and we can enhance it through the Toastmasters, inshallah. So communication skills is C. So I'm down to four, right? A, B, C, D. So the D stands for my favorite. I mean, all of them are favorite. What do you think D may stand for?
Development,
education.
Come on, you guys know it. There you go. Dawah, right? Dawah, correct. I gave you all the hints.
Dawah with dedication.
Dawah with dedication, correct? Alhamdulillah, for all of us. I mean, it's not just me. I mean, for all of us. You know, there was a Muslim brother, and he's from Egypt. And he mentioned this wonderful story. And I was like, you know, totally shattered by the wonderful impact that story had in my heart and mind and my emotions. And he said that in the northern part of Egypt, there are many da'is who work, you know, conveying the message and street dawah, dawah booths. So one time, alhamdulillah, they went out on the street and conveyed the message. And lo and behold, a Christian man, background Christianity, he came. And he learned about Islam. He became curious. He learned about Islam. So his background was a triune ideology. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, that ideology. So he learned, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him. And on the same day, on the first interaction, he recited, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now, next day, he sat down with some Muslims. So they were mentoring him and they were reciting certain surahs for him to memorize, how to pray, the rituals, the recitation and the other fundamentals. So then they recited him Surah 112 of the Quran, Surah Al-Ikhlas. As soon as he heard the surah, he became really angry at all the Muslims, every single one of them. And he said, you know what, go and tell your scholars, go and tell the Muslims in Egypt, go and tell every single Muslim in the whole world that I'm really angry at you guys, that you had such a precious surah, you had such a precious message about the oneness of God, and they are hiding it. You guys are hiding it from the rest of humanity, especially the Christians. So he got mad. Why are you guys hiding the Quran, this surah? We need it. People are in darkness, and this surah is the one that enlightens, especially the people who believe in the triune concept. So my dear Muslims, it's so important. every single ayah, every single surah, we are literally hiding if we don't convey the message. I mean, I can go on so many things about dawah, by the way. So let's move on to A, B, C, D, E. E stands for eating healthy and exercising, right? The food is staring all of you there, right?
Second round.
No, no second round, by the way. Unless you want to do Sehri here, I'm not sure Abdul Bari Bhai would like to allow you for staying the whole night. Of course, mashallah, jazakallah khairan. So it's really important that when it comes to our bodies, this is a ni'mah, this is a blessing and a responsibility Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. So one day there was an interaction between Warren Buffett, who is, I believe, the third richest person in the US, no, actually in the world. With a combined assets of what, 60 billion, 70 billion, something like that. Oh, 74. Okay, fine. Maybe today it becomes 76, right? They add a billion each day, right? And I always used to wonder, come on, Mr. Buffett, where are you going to peace at least? You know, we will use better use of it. 76 billion, just mind-boggling, right? So he was sitting with a bunch of youth and they asked him one question, because the time was really short. And they asked him the question, give us one advice. And Mr. Buffet, he said, suppose if I give one car to each single one of you, and I mention to you that this is the only car you will ever have in your whole life. No more cars, this is the only car. Now then he asked the question, how would you take care of this car? And obviously, one person, second person, third person, they mention, if we see that the tires needs to be changed, we will change it right away. This is the only car we have. If the oil needs to be changed, if there's a small scratch in here, anything, the maintenance, we'll do right away because this is the only car we will have. So at that time, Warren Buffett, he said, this is the only body that you have. And they understood that taking care of our health is as much important as anything else. And obviously this is part of the sunnah. As you mentioned, as we all know, it is not enough. It is not only just the sunnah to eat with bismillah and eating with the right hand sitting down. It is also part of the sunnah to see how much we eat and the health value of what we eat. They are equally part of the sunnah as eating with our right hand with saying bismillah. So this is the habit that we need to inculcate. So many a times when we go to shadis and the dawas and invitations may not be here, by the way, people just, you know, take the plate. And nowadays Shalimar has so big plates, I don't know why. They should reduce the size of the plates. What do you think, Arif bhai?
Yeah.
Right? They should reduce the size of the plates. Because what people do is they have big plates and it's like this. No more room and they have to go like this just watching. Nothing falls. And then half of the time, half of the people that you may watch on the, you know, before they leave the banquet hall, half the food is wasted, right? People waste it. So it's a good habit that we need to inculcate under E, is just to take small portions, and then if you have to eat a little bit more, the dessert and whatnot, just take a second, but just make sure that we don't waste. So that hadith should be reminded to all of us, in which the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if you have to eat small portions, just to keep your back straight. But if you have to eat more, then eat one third of what makes you full. So one third is not the minimum, one third is the maximum. All right? No, I'm not looking at you, I'm just looking at everyone, by the way, right? This is for me too, sometimes. So it's important. Can we hold the comments right after, inshallah? Then I will take a... yeah. Because it's important for us to remind ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has mentioned about the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he is the best example for all of us to follow. And this is mentioned in Surah Ahzab, ayah number 21. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. That in the person of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we have the best example to follow. for those who believe in Allah in the last day and remembers Allah much. So his sunnah was comprehensive, and we need to have, you know, guidance in our life, in our family, in humanity. That means even in eating, how to take care of the bodies, there is humongous guidance, alhamdulillah, unlike any faith out there. So we are down to what? A, B, C, D, E, right? Oh, F. So we are down to the second last one. So F stands for the faiths around us, the ideologies of our neighbors, our colleagues, our classmates, right? The faiths. F is for faiths around us. I need to build something for F. And the reason I chose this is because, suppose if you have a knock at your door on Saturday morning and it is 10 a.m. and when you open the door, there are two well-dressed, not three by the way, not four, there are only two well-dressed people who are standing and facing you, and they have a magazine called the Awake magazine. If I am going to ask you this question, who are these people? What would you say? All of you know that. Have you been fortunate enough to get a visit from them? Yeah?
Yeah.
So suppose you get excited that here are the people, and now you wanted to dialogue with them. Some of us want to debate with them. That, you know, let's take a look at the concept of God, Tawheed versus Trinity, and the Bible and the Quran, and Isa alayhi salam as a son of God and triune concept versus him being a prophet. Suppose if you spend 2 hours with them, passionately conversing with them, that, you know, Trinity is wrong, it's unbiblical, it's illogical, and it's un-Quranic. And you mention to them that, you know, Jesus cannot be God, and you give them 10 different evidences for it. At the end of the 2 hours, they may smile at you, and then they say, you know, brother, what you said is exactly what we also believe. And then you may be thinking, really? But who are you? You have a Bible in your hand. You profess to be, you know, Bible believers, and you don't believe in triune concept. And now you're confused. Who are these people? And they are Bible believers, but they are a different sect of Christianity. That means it's important for us to know and to educate ourselves. And it's a good habit to inculcate that we need to know the faiths around us. By knowing the faiths around us, that's how we can package our message better. A quick example, then I will go to the last habit, inshallah, is the year was 629. And a delegation from Najran, the king of Najran, about 16 priests, they were sent to Masjid al-Nabawi, to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And their job was to find out who is this man who's proclaiming himself to be a prophet. And he seems to have brought a new faith. So the Christian king of Najran, he sent these pastors, this priest. And the story that we know, they spent 3 days and 3 nights in Masjid al-Nabawi. They ate there. They prayed there, right? Important, they prayed there. And the prophet served the food. And the most important thing, they had interactions with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During one of the interactions, one of them, they asked the Prophet the question that what is the concept of God that you bring for all of us? That means what is the concept of God that you preach, that you want to introduce? At that point, the Prophet was silent. Then the Wahi came, and that Wahi became Surah Al-Ikhlas. And Surah Al-Ikhlas, as we know, right? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakullahu kufuwan ahad. The translation, as we all know, is that say he is Allah, one and only. He is eternal. He is needed by all. He begets not, nor he is begotten, and there is none like unto him. So the main lesson I want to share with all of you and with myself is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is taking into account the faith of the audience, of the people asking the questions, and who are recipients. And now he's packaging the message of Tawheed based upon the faith of the audience. They're coming from the Christian faith. They believe that Isa alayhi salam to be God, to be eternal, to be the sustainer, to be the creator. They take the concept that, you know, Allah begets and Isa alayhi salam is begotten son. And they say that, you know, the Holy Spirit and Isa alayhi salam, they both share the noble attributes of the Creator himself. So packaging our message is an important habit, but knowing the faith, the ideology of our recipients, our neighbors and our colleagues and our classmates. So it's an important habit for us to educate ourselves about other faiths. So what is the last letter now?
G.
All right. So under G, what I have for myself and all of you is, about last week I was reading this article. And the article, the title, this was in Al Jazeera website. And the article was really disheartening, by the way. And it said, the 10 steps towards genocide. And this article is in the context of what is going on around the world. What is going on to the Muslims in India, in Kashmir, in China, in Palestine, in Yemen, almost all over the Muslim world, what is going on? And what happened to the Jewish people, the genocide that happened, and many times in history to many people. So this article was giving the 10 steps that happens, the 10 steps from people living in peace and harmony all the way to some minority somewhere in history, they were done genocide on by the minority or certain race and certain culture or certain nationality. What is common between all of the steps is that every single time, every single place, every single country, every single minority that this atrocity, this oppression, this torture happened upon, there were major misconceptions that people had about their faith, ideology, and culture. So the G stands for the garbled information our neighbors and colleagues and people of the world, they may have about Islam and Muslims, and what responsibility that we have, not only to convey the faith, but to make sure the misinformation that they have, knowing it first and foremost, and clearing it. And these are some of the main misconceptions people may have. So Gain Peace, by the way, we are teaching a class every Monday night from 7:30 to 9:30. And these are some of the misconceptions that we are tackling. Apostasy was what we tackled yesterday, or 2 days ago, right? 2 nights ago. Marriage of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People make a big deal about it. People have distanced themselves because of this. And, some people have given up the whole hadith literature because they think, you know, it's not reliable. So it's really important. Then we dealt upon the topic of Sharia and Jihad, multiple marriages, the topic of how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with the Jewish tribes. That also is a topic which the Yahud and other people, the Islamophobes, they bring forth and they brainwash the sincere people around the world. So it's really good habit for every single Muslim. Not just the scholars, we cannot outsource it, every single one of us, that we know the misconceptions and then we find the answers, the proper responses to these misconceptions. So these are the 7 habits, my dear brothers. So let's quiz it, then I will conclude, inshallah. So what is the very first habit? So this is A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So A stands for what?
Allah.
Allah and the connection that we have. Allah and the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. B stands for?
Bedtime
habit. And obviously, early bed, early rise, and proper time management. And C stands for?
Communicate.
Mashallah, right? Extra biryani for all of you. Extra dessert for all of you. D stands for?
Dawah.
A, B, C, D, E, right? Let me do my A, B, C, D, E. E stands for? Eating habits, exercising, right? Healthy body. F?
Faith.
Yeah, faith around us, educating ourselves about the faiths of other people, ideology, what they have. And G stands for?
Gain peace.
Okay, gain peace, right? Gain peace and how we correct the misinformation. People have garbled information from here and there and they get brainwashed because of it. And it's an important lesson for us. If this kind of misinformation continues, people have fear of the unknown. And fear of the unknown, unfortunately, the steps which I read, it leads to people having bias and discrimination and hate and violence. and demonizing and seeing us as unequal and then less than human, equal to animals, no rights, and ultimately genocide. So it's a process that happened many, many times. It's a wake-up lesson for all of us, by the way. You know, what is happening up there, we have to do dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help and protect them and remove the oppression and protect all of us. But it's a big lesson because sometimes I feel we are so content in this part of the world. We feel that this is going to continue for until the end of the day. You never know. May Allah protect us, by the way. People in Bosnia, they used to feel the same way, way back in the 80s and 70s, but then the calamity happened. People in Palestine, before 1984, they used to feel the same way. So it's really important for us. We have to be cautious, we have to be prepared, we have to do the dua, and we need to make sure that we need to understand the Sunnah, the Quran, in a comprehensive way, the dynamic way, so we can apply it, so we can, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the honor, the prestige, the success, the power, and inshallah, success in this world and success in the hereafter. And I hope and pray, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy and possible for all of us.